weeks ago, knowing that he was going to be going to California this past week, if I would be able to help him out, I'm sure and happy that I am able to do so. Glad that he got back safely. Before we begin our lesson this afternoon, I want to make one little statement just to kind of help you put this lesson into its proper frame. And that is, this is what a lesson that I would call introspective. That is, the things that we're going to be talking about today, you might be able to point your finger at somebody else and say, yes, I know that they are like that. But that's not what I want you to do. What I want you to do is to examine yourself. As we talk about the various things we're going to be speaking of today, I want you to ask yourself, would I fit into this category? And then at the end of the lesson, to make the application, what can I do to change if I am in that category? And with that in mind, then, I'd like us to go ahead and get into our lesson. But again, keep that in your mind, that this is a time for you to examine, for myself, to examine ourselves in light of God's Word. As we know, the Bible teaches us, and as we can see out into the world, God is a very wise being. Part of His wisdom, I believe, is seen in the church. That is, as God has called various individuals and those who have responded through the gospel to that call, we find that we are very much in a minority in the world. In fact, we live in a very hostile world who are those surrounded by individuals who are opposed to what we believe and what we teach and the way that we try to live. God then, in His wisdom, has given us the church, a means and a mechanism by which we can support one another in our answering of this call and by living according to this call. That the church then is a way that we can come together and that we can in our daily lives interact with one another and support one another and give encouragement to one another in the work that we have been called to do. We find that in this church, in this body, in this organization, mechanism, however you want to describe it, that there are responsibilities that come with it. And within this, we find that within this church, in these responsibilities, that we all play a part in the supporting of one another. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, there Paul likens the church to the body, in which, and talking in the sense it was within the context of spiritual gifts, that the various members of this body, representing and having various spiritual gifts, would each pull those spiritual gifts together to edify and to build up the body. It was a means of, again, supporting one another. Even so, when he gets into chapter 14 of that chapter, he tells us that all that we do are to be for the edifying of the body. And again, in particular, of the spiritual gifts that were available at the time. Open your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to look at a passage and make the point here, again, that it is that each of us are putting something into this effort to edify and to build up the body. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And as the day's been going, I've noticed my voice getting a little bit hoarser and my throat getting a little bit scratchy. So bear with me if you can. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body. And again, the point we're making here is very clear in this passage, that we are brought together and we are given various duties and various talents so that we can build the body up. He says in verse 13, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we shall no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, the point that we work together to build each other up. But notice in particular now, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice two phrases that he uses there. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. And then he goes on and says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. In other words here, that each of us has, again, certain talents, get certain opportunities, certain responsibility to help the body grow. I give a part, and you give a part. And George gives a part, and Randall gives a part. In other words, we take what we have and we pull it together so that the body as a whole can grow. Now then, unfortunately, the church is like other human organizations. And that is, it has different levels of commitment by those who are part of it. For example, you have those who are very strong. Those who see work that needs to be done without being asked, they go and do that work. Or they have developed their talents and they continue to develop their talents so that they might help the body grow. On the other end of the spectrum, you have some which we might call the fringe. Those individuals who may show up to the assembly once in a blue moon, who still want their name on the roll, but really have no association with the church or with any of its members. And they are content in that role. They don't want to take on any responsibility. They don't want to be an active part of the work. They want to be out on the edge. And then you have, in that spectrum, various individuals who fit all along the way in that spectrum. And what we're going to talk about this afternoon is not the strong, because today in fact, one thing I might say at the beginning again of the lesson is that perhaps I'm teaching to the choir today. Because we're not going to be talking about those who are strong, and we're not going to be talking about those who we would consider weak and out on the fringe. I want to talk about one in particular group who might be somewhere in the middle. And it's those individuals who want to be part and be active, but they need a lot of help along the way. And one of the things that we find as we read through the scriptures is that there is some responsibility for the strong. Over in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, speaking to the strong, Paul makes this statement concerning the weak. He says, when we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So we're talking about the strong in this case and how they have a responsibility toward the weak to help build them up, to strengthen them. Take those who are weak and make them stronger. We find over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, a similar idea being presented. That those who are strong are to help those who are weak. In this particular case, he talked about that individual who is overtaken in a fault. And it is the responsibility of the strong then to come and help that person in this regard. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Obviously, then, as we talk about being in a hostile world, there are those who have a hard time dealing with that hostile world. And they need the strength of those who are stronger to help them to remain faithful. But I want us to notice also there is another type of responsibility that is placed upon us. That is not necessarily placed upon the strong, but it's placed upon all of us. And I'm referring to, then, is beginning in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 6. But let each one of you examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And that's what I want us to focus on today. It's not that the strong are to look after the weak. They are to do that. But we also have to recognize that if I am one of the weak, or as we're going to talk about here in just a moment, one who may be considered more than just weak, or, you know, but still is calling out for the help of others, it comes to a point in time when they have to recognize that they have a responsibility themselves. That yes, the stronger are to lend them a hand, but they have a responsibility to support themselves and to gain and produce for themselves. You know, there are times when all of us have a difficult time and need help. I think, for example, of the babe in Christ. Has not yet been very experienced in the ways of Christ and the life that they are to live. And as they continue to develop, that they need help from those who are stronger. And that's very natural. We have others who perhaps are going through a very difficult time in life. We have a sister in our number right now who, as a result of the death of her loved one, is struggling spiritually. We need to do what we can to strengthen them. But we also have to recognize, again, this idea that we can't always be totally dependent upon the stronger. That if we are one of those weak, we have to recognize that, as Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says, that each of us shall give account of ourselves to God. That yes, we can look to others for strength, but ultimately it's going to have to be ourselves that puts us in the right relationship with our God. Some Christians never, though, seem to progress from being supported to being supporting themselves. They remain very dependent upon their brethren. Why is that? Well, various reasons. Some are just lazy. They don't want to develop. They do not want to be stronger. They don't want to have the responsibility that would come with becoming a more mature individual, a more mature Christian. Some, when they were converted, truly did not count the cost. They did not recognize what they were going to have, the changes they would have to make, and the life that they would have to live, and therefore they are not, do not have the will to grow in any way, because again, it would call on more responsibility. Some would have what I might call spiritual hypochondria. That is, that they just, in their own mind and in their own heart, feel like they can't measure up, and so why make the effort? Or maybe they are such that someone has slighted them, some member of the church may have slighted them, and therefore they're going to hold a grudge, and therefore I'm not going to get any stronger, become more involved. And unless they are constantly nurtured by the brethren, they just stay weak, they become weaker, and oftentimes they just fall away and become apathetic. How would we describe individuals this way? How would we describe those individuals who need a constant effort devoted to them to keep them strong or to keep them active within the church? One person has termed it, and I believe it's a good term, it's the idea of high maintenance. So today what we're really talking about are high maintenance Christians. And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense. And again, keeping in mind, we're talking from the standpoint of introspection. What I want you to do this today as we go through this lesson is determine for yourself and examine yourself to determine, are you a high maintenance Christian? What do you mean by high maintenance? Well, if anybody's had a number of cars for the year, certainly at one point you've had a high maintenance car. That is, that as it becomes older, you got to put more and more energy to keeping it running right. You have to put more and more money in it to keep it fixed up. It becomes more of a burden each time just to keep the thing running. We understand what high maintenance is. We might think of an employee, a high maintenance employee. Someone who the supervisor has to just sit there constantly and make sure they get the work done, that they don't make mistakes. It takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of time to get this individual to do the work that he's been assigned to do. Well, what about Christians? There are high maintenance Christians in that they require a lot of attention in order to keep them faithful. There are those individuals who might say, you know what? I'm not going to go this Sunday because, you know what, nobody called or came to visit me this week. And therefore, I'm just not going to go. If they don't care about me, then I don't care about them. And they're those type of individuals who have to have the constant care, the constant attention from those within the church in order to keep themselves going. Or perhaps they are ones who require a lot of coddling or pampering in order to remain active. In this case, I might think of somebody who says, I've got things that I want the church to know. I want them to teach what I want them to teach. They need to listen to me. And if they don't listen to me, I'm not going to be a part. And I'm not going to be active. I want to be there, and I truly desire to be there. But if they don't play by my rules, if they don't play by the things that I want them to do, then I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm not going to go at all. And so then it takes a month from the elderships, and it takes from the various members, a great deal of energy just to keep their interest there and to keep them faithful in their work and in their attendance and in their activities. Lester spoke about earlier, let's talk a little bit about high maintenance and why it's needed at times. Well, as we said earlier, that high maintenance is crucial for the newborn Christian. Those individuals who are new to the faith, they haven't developed the knowledge yet, they haven't developed the skills yet to deal with life's challenges. And so they call upon those around them to help them. And that's truly natural. It's something that is desired. And that which, again, going back to what the strong is to do with the weak, that is how we are supposed to support them. And it should be It should be to us a wanted thing to be desired that we would help them in times of crisis. And we would help them to grow, and we would see and have great joy as we watch them develop and as we watch them grow. But then we have those individuals who are new in the faith, who are young, who might be called newborn in the faith, and they never make any effort to grow or to develop. And we'll come back to this in a little bit. But we might need high maintenance, and it's appropriate to have high maintenance, again, as we talked about the hurting Christian. That Christian who has, for some reason, endured some kind of sickness or injury, and they need the help of the congregation. Or perhaps, again, they are struggling with something spiritually in their life, maybe some type of sin, and for a period of time they need some help to overcome it. High maintenance is required there, and it should be provided. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." So high maintenance at certain times can be a very good thing. In fact, sometimes we even speak of preventive maintenance. We see somebody who perhaps is going in a certain direction, or we see that they're having a difficult time in life, and so we go early to help them deal with it instead of waiting until it becomes a crisis. But is there a time when the high maintenance Christian can actually hurt the church? Let's consider a few things. The high maintenance Christian can hurt the church when it hinders the growth of the church. The church has certain responsibilities to the community and to the world in the areas of evangelism, edification, and benevolence. But imagine a congregation, and I'm not suggesting that it's happening here by any means. I have seen cases where it has been a problem. But imagine a situation in which you have one individual or perhaps more individuals within a congregation who are continually disturbing that congregation out of perhaps a demand for their particular agenda to be followed. Or perhaps they are constantly calling upon the members to meet physical needs when they have every means by themselves to meet those needs. And so they're constantly calling upon the congregation, and they're constantly calling attention to themselves so that the church cannot adequately focus upon what it should be doing. That they are so tied up trying to meet the needs of these individuals that certain, perhaps, evangelistic programs are pushed to the side. Our areas of edification are being not having full attention because they're so busy dealing with these high-maintenance individuals just to keep them active and to keep them focused and to keep them faithful in God. I think, for example, of the church at Corinth. Can you imagine what those who, Paul and Timothy and others who were dealing with Corinth, can you imagine what they have to deal with from time to time? You think things are going along pretty smoothly, and then some crisis arises over personality issues. This person is trying to follow Cephas, and this one's trying to follow Apollos. And we've got to stop and get this straightened out. So you take time off from doing what you should be doing. Or we're coming up now, and we're trying to worship the way God wants us, but some people are abusing the Lord's Supper. And now we've got to take time out, and we've got to deal with that and not be doing what we should be doing. Or we have women, perhaps, who are taking upon themselves more authority than they ought to have. And now we've got to stop, and we've got to take care of that. Can you see how those things can distract from the work of the church while you're dealing with these Christians who are calling attention to themselves and demanding that their needs be met? Or another way that this might hurt is, what if it holds back the efforts of those who are working in the church? For example, certain individuals who are an individual who is making a great demand on the elders and are monopolizing the elders and perhaps the preacher's time because they have issues they want to deal with. And there are other issues within the church that need to be dealt with, but constantly they're being called to deal with this individual or individuals. I don't know if George can testify to this at all. Have you ever known a preacher that had to hide in order to get his study done? Because there's that one member who is constantly calling and saying, "I need to talk to you. I need to come visit with you." And they go over the same problems that they've always had. And they never seem to come to a resolution. And just about the time the preacher is ready to sit down and study, the phone rings. And here's this individual again. "I'm having difficulty and I need help." And a preacher wanting to do what is right and wanting to help that individual has to take time out to deal with the same problem over and over and over again. And then it may be that that individual who perhaps they're dealing with some type of sin in their life and they succumb to the temptation, and you know what? Well, you know what? It's the preacher's fault or it's the elder's fault because they weren't there when I needed them. And they never take responsibility for themselves. They never make any attempt to grow themselves so they become more independent and not so dependent upon those that they are constantly trying to have look over them. These individuals do not realize sometimes that they are using up resources that can be better applied elsewhere. And this is not to say that we should brush these people off. This is not to say that we should not help these people when they are in need. Again, we go back to the point we made at the beginning. What we're talking about is individuals taking responsibility for themselves. For the newborn child, it's going to take time. The newborn Christian, it's going to take time for them to get to that point. But again, there are those who never make the effort to get to that point because all they want is somebody to watch over them and sometimes take the responsibility for what should be their relationship with God. There are times, it seems, that when more serious needs are being unmet because some individual has, again, monopolized the resources of the local church. The preacher doesn't have time to go do that Bible study with perhaps a new convert or with a potential convert because this person's called him aside to work on the same old issue. Or they call upon the elders when the elders are trying to visit with the sick, or they're trying to meet with those who are hurting as a result of the loss because this individual is constantly calling and saying, well, if you can't be there for me, then I might as well not come at all. And they play a guilt trip on those who really want to help but whose resources are becoming pretty thin. Well, what do we do with these type of individuals? How do we help those individuals become self-sufficient? How do we instill upon them that they have a responsibility for themselves? So number one is just that. We need to instill that idea. That yes, we are here to help you, but in a sense, you have to help yourself. That it is up to you because you are going to have to stand before God. That I cannot stand before God on your behalf. But you will stand before God, therefore you must take some responsibility. Well, how do we defeat this high-maintenance person? By getting them to grow. We need high-maintenance individuals to recognize that at some point, they are responsible for their own maintenance. And recognize also that it comes a point when they have to do it for themselves. Imagine a child who's growing up. They get to a point where, you know, every day you're tying their shoe. When it comes untied, you go and you tie it again. But they're beginning now to develop the dexterity. They begin to see that it can be done. Perhaps they've even done it once or twice themselves, but they get the idea, well, you know what? It's easier if mom and dad do it. You know, I don't have to bend down and do it. I'll let them bend down and tie my shoe. We could use many other illustrations. It gets to a point where a parent has to tell the child, you are responsible for keeping your shoes tied. Well, we need to do the same thing with these high-maintenance Christians. To get them to recognize that the point comes when they have to make that effort to do for themselves. Some never make the effort, however, to grow. When we become we need to instill upon them the desire to grow. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Peter speaks of desiring the pure milk of the word that you may grow. And there's two words in there that I think are essential to have the impact in this passage. The first word is that word desire. When we speak with these high-maintenance Christians, we need to try to instill within them the desire. That is a need and a wanting to do what? To grow. To become that mature individual. To become that mature Christian. Not to be so dependent upon those around you, but one that can stand on their own and do for themselves. So we need to instill this within them. Look over at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, it has to do with studying the Word of God. Gaining the knowledge of the Bible for yourself so that you don't have to run to others all the time to say, hey, somebody asked me this question, how do I answer it? Or I'm faced with this difficulty, what do I do about it? Well, we study and we come to an understanding of God's Word. But something else that we do in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, but a solid food belongs to those to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, it comes a time when somebody has to say, you know, stop asking, what should I do in this situation? And get to the point where they know through their own trial and error, by their own judgment, what they should or should not do. Again, I imagine a child as he grows and perhaps becomes a young adult, constantly having to go back to parents and say, what do I do now? Should I go out and look for a job today? Should I get out and go to school? Do I need to prepare for this test? We recognize that as we grow up, we don't do those things. We know that part of maturing and part of developing is to make those decisions for ourselves. Well, Christians need to do the same thing, to recognize that we must judge for ourselves those things in light of God's word of what we should and should not do. We also need to recognize that there comes a time when, again, the resources that are available to us are no longer going to be there, or that we've used them up. And actually, I see this kind of, again, in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go back a few verses and begin reading. The writer here just wants to talk to them about the priesthood of Melchizedek. Beginning in verse 10, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they never went on. They never recognized that, you know, there comes a point when I need not only to be doing for myself, but now I need to be doing others. I've been a student this long. Now I need to turn to become the teacher and help those who are traveling the same path, but who are behind me. And I need to strengthen them as they come up. But again, the high-maintenance individual may not see that. So we, in trying to instill and trying to bring them up to a level where they can be independent, need to stress that, you know what, maybe it's time, instead of focusing upon yourself, you now begin to focus on others, because that is part of our development. We need to help them to develop individual strength. Strength comes from brethren. Strength from brethren is certainly helpful when we need it. But we should also reach a point where our strength comes from God. And what that truly means, I believe, is we need to teach these individuals, instead of relying upon my relationship with God, they need to develop their own relationship with God. That they can go to Him, they can pray, and they can study, and they can know Him without having to go through me. Doesn't mean I don't want to have any contact and guidance. Someday it may be that it gets turned around where I need to look to them for guidance. But if they don't become strong enough, they never get to that point. And then finally, we need to get them to come to the point where they are producers and not consumers. And again, this goes back to the idea we just spoke of, where they become the ones that are called upon. They become the ones who can give strength to others. They become the ones who can give knowledge to others instead of being so dependent on others themselves. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the new man. About that man who has put aside the old man and its old ways of life and now have become a new man. And if you notice here, the conduct that he talks about beginning in verse 25 all has to do with putting away those things that hindered them and adding and doing those things that strengthen not only themselves but strengthens others. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Notice verse 28. This is the one that just seems to me to be so applicable to what we're talking about. Let him who stole steal no longer. But rather, there's a change here. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. In other words, instead of being so dependent upon others, develop yourself so that you can produce and that you can help others. Others who may themselves have a dependency upon others. You can be that one that they depend upon. You become stronger, and in the process, you make them stronger. Now again, think about the beginning of our lesson and the point that I began with. This is a lesson on introspection. I could think of various people who would fit various parts of this lesson today. Individuals who called out for attention constantly and never seemed to grow in any way. But that's not my point. My point is to look at myself. And have I been that way? Do I have something in my life where I'm constantly calling upon the needs of others or upon the strength of others and not making any effort whatsoever to strengthen myself? If I do find myself in that situation, it's time for me to change. But the same is true for you. Have you looked at your life? You know, we're in a new year and we constantly think about, okay, we think about mistakes we made in the old year and how can we be better this new year? Well, this is the time that we typically do this. What can I do this year to make me an individual that's more dependent, not from God, but in my relationship with God, and where I might help those who are truly in need to become stronger? But am I drawing upon and using the resources that could better be applied in other areas from our elders, from the preacher, from our Bible class teachers, and from those who are stronger among us? God desires that we grow. God desires that, again, we become that mature Christian that we can teach others and be an example to others. But if we remain, if we find among ourselves that we are a high-maintenance individual, constantly draining the resources of other individuals to keep me faithful, I need to re-examine my life and determine what I need to do that I might be able to give back to what I have been given, that I might help others grow. The lesson is yours today. I hope it's one that's been edifying. And it's one that I hope, again, that you will look at yourselves a little bit. And again, I understand, knowing many of you here, knowing most of you here, I'm probably preaching to the choir today. Because one thing this congregation is blessed to have is many strong members who are active and who are willing to do the work of the Lord. But if you find it in some way that you have not been pulling your load, you have not been providing your share, think about what you can do to change that and how this congregation can assist you in that. If you have a spiritual need, either to become a child of God or to become one that is stronger and more independent in your relationship with God, we're here to help in any way that we can. Would you come while we stand and sing? God.